Welcome to the Spiritual Gifts Podcast. I'm Sam Jackson, Campus Pastor at Gateway Redlands, joined by...
Andrew Sercombe, Gateway City Campus Pastor.
Yes, you are. Good to see you again, mate. Welcome.
Good to be with you, Samuel.
It's good to be chatting about spiritual gifts with you. And we have one on the table today that is it's going to be a great discussion. We're talking about miracles.
Yes.
Miracles. Things that aren't inexplicable in the natural.
What was that? Inexplicable.
They're not explicable.
Well, wouldn't you just say inexplicable?
Well, thank you. That's why you're here, to correct my bad use of the English language. So I'm going to throw straight to you, mate. Give us, with the best English you've got.
Watch out.
A bit of a biblical picture, a bit of a biblical overview of this gift of miracles.
Miracles. Yes. Well, again, we see miracles all throughout the scriptures. We see God step into the created order and do something that's outside what we would say is the rational or the material. And often we talk about, you know, we talk about healing, and that's another spiritual gift. And then we have miracles, which healing is a miracle, but miracles go beyond healing as well. And so you see, again, dotted throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, you see in the life and the work of Jesus performing miracles, signs of wonders over creation. That go beyond the created order. And then there's signs and wonders that speak of the kingdom of God. They're signs and wonders that speak of the supernatural. That I think they exist in the church and for us as signposts to a mighty supernatural God that build us up and reveal God's glory. And and so we see it in the New Testament as well. Mm. We see Paul going about, and we've got stories of hankies that make their way around that we see healing, you know, as Paul prays over and others as well. Mm. That's miracles.
Yeah, excellent, mate. That's good. I as you were talking, I couldn't get the picture of Jim Carrey playing Bruce Almighty in that movie where he's parting the tomato soup like the Red Sea.
Yes.
Anyway, that's probably an inappropriate comment for a podcast like this.
It's never happened. It's never happened to my soup.
No. Anyway, that's on this note, because we're drifting. I'd love to introduce our special guest, our executive pastor, Derek Peters. Derek, welcome to the podcast again.
Great to have you, Derek. Thank you.
Have you ever done that with your soup?
Yeah, oh, that'd be no, but I'll go home and start practicing as soon as I can. Yeah.
Derek, why don't you bring some sense to the conversation, mate? Talk to us about miracles. I should say, by way of, I guess, honouring and introducing you, I know you as a man full of faith to see God do what, in our day, what Cirque just described. So talk to us about when you first started to believe, believe in a God that could break through and do the miraculous in our time.
Yeah, look, I think this is really challenging because... You know, we talk about the healing power of God, but I think there's a distinction in then the miracle power of God. And, you know, there's a way of probably understanding that, and that is that every healing is a miracle, but not every miracle is a healing, you know. And Cirque said it well in the introduction, Jesus walked on water. He calmed the stormy sea. He fed the 5,000. I mean, they're miracles. They were signs of the Messiah, really. Mm. They were miracles that were set aside for the Messiah to do to confirm that he was Messiah, and they had prophetic implication, and, you know, we don't have time to talk about that now, but they weren't healing because they didn't involve the human body. They involved the natural elements, or they involved an authority that existed above the natural elements. And I think this is where this becomes even more challenging, perhaps, than healing, is because... we're now starting to dip our toe into the authority, the delegated authority that Jesus gives us as human beings. And, you know, maybe we've already stretched far enough as we talked about healing, but we're going to stretch even further as we talk about the miraculous in the natural order of things. What I find I get challenged by in this conversation is, where is the limit of the authority that God has placed into the human existence? Mm. If Jesus is our prototype, if Jesus is the person that we are called to be like, not just in character, not just in the fruits of the Spirit about who he is in his being, but what if we are called to be like exactly like him as sons and daughters of God, the Father? Then this is extremely challenging then, that we also are called into the same miraculous space. Mm. wow, you know, like it can do your head in. And what it can do is it can press on a lot of buttons of the way you feel that you relate to God and who God is to you and what kind of platform has God established for the human race to stand on that maybe today we've lost a little bit of that sense of faith about it.
Okay, unpack that more. The question forming in my mind was, why don't we see it more in our time, in our place? You just kind of hinted at it then with the way you said it. Maybe our faith is waning a bit. But speak to us, like for someone who this gift turns out, you know, on their they did the assessment, miracles comes near the top, and they start, maybe there's a bit of doubt playing in their mind. Maybe there's faith interacting with doubt and all that sort of stuff. Speak to why you believe we don't see more miracles in our day, or do we, and we just miss them?
Look, this is such a big conversation because what it comes down to is that the way we define the goodness of God and his intention towards us and then our agency in that. And if how we see that determines whether we're even going to ask God. So in other words, if there's something that's going to happen in the natural world, for example, you know, there's a picnic planned in the city at the botanical gardens and there's so much work gone in it and there's some ministry that you just know God's going to do and the storm clouds come and the thunderstorms roll over our top of our heads, do we look at that and say, God, I'm going to speak to those natural elements and move that storm away because there's work you're going to do here? Even as I'm saying that, I can hear people go, well, what right have you got to do that? What about the farmers out west that are waiting for the rain? You know, like, who are you to do that? Who are you to do that? We saw in Peter someone who came into a revelation of this, but we don't see it fully unpacked because the scripture doesn't take us there. But you think about it. Peter was on the boat with Jesus when Jesus said to the storm, peace be still. And then Jesus said to them, oh, ye of little faith. So he kind of chastised them. He kind of coached them, let's just say that, as to why they didn't act with more faith. Well, what did faith look like? Well, faith looked like what Jesus did. So Jesus is basically saying, why didn't you do what I did? So the disciples who are cowering in the corner, fishermen who know what bad weather looks like, go, oh, okay, we've just been given enough. The bar just went up. The next time you see this happening, Jesus is walking on the water, but everyone's afraid. Peter looks out there, and what does he say? He says, command me to come, Lord. So what's the shift that Peter's done? Peter has worked out that if Jesus gives the word, he can take that word and stuff happens. But he hasn't heard Jesus say it's okay to walk on the water because this is a new situation. Yes. But he says to him, command me. And so Jesus goes, just one word, come. So Pete goes, okay, I've got the command. And on that word now, I'm going to actually confront the natural order of things because it's going to work out differently. Now, it's easy to criticize Pete and go, well, you know, he sunk. Yeah, but he took a few steps.
Yeah, of course. He walked on water.
He walked further than the rest of us have gone, you know. Right. Now, what's the principle though? There's a word, there's a command that comes from the heart of God that the sons and daughters of God can hear and they can actually declare that word and it will literally change the natural order. Now, that's a big idea.
Yeah,
but that's the basis of miracles because miracles are always going to be way beyond what's normal. We're not going to be able to explain it. But the only way we can explain it is the pattern of authority that comes from the mouth of Jesus.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting just picking up on that authority and even just really helpfully unpacking Peter's experience with Jesus and almost that discerning of discerning the will of God within our created order to engage with that authority, if that makes sense. So it gives us a paradigm for moving and working and acting, which is aligned to God's will and God's word.
Yes.
And that gives us the freedom then to move and to speak and to act.
Yeah. The challenge is though, we don't ask him if we don't think it's within the remit of our possible authority. And I understand that because we go, well, that's beyond why would I bother God with this request, you know? But you're right. If the permission of our authority, if it extends to asking God, what does he want to see happen in this situation? And hearing with clarity, not with prejudice now, not with our own overlays of our own desires and what we want to see happen. But if we hear very clearly the voice of the Lord that says, back to our example in the city with the botanical gardens, no, this has got to happen. You speak to it, Andrew. And so we grab hands together as a church and we face the clouds and we say, we want clear skies, Jesus. Mm. Now, it's easy to say, well, if God's in control, why can't God do that for us? But again, he didn't do that with the disciples every time. He asked them to step into the shoes that he's in. Mm. It's really confronting stuff.
It's confronting, but what I'm hearing, DP, is a really important subtle point. Intimacy with Jesus is key. Like I when I read the Gospels, I think Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Mm. And that to me kind of defines the way he lived and walked. And then when Peter's experience, he's doing what Jesus invites him to. And so like I think part of the danger with all the spiritual gifts is we see it as some kind of superpower that we're given, right? But it's nothing without connection to Jesus. Remain in me, abide in me, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Mm. Ask whatever you want in my name. But that's contingent upon being connected to him and having this intimacy with him.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, and I think when Jesus said, abide in me and let my words abide in you, he was talking to two parts of us. He was talking to who are you before the Father? Because mm-hmm. if I abide in him, what that means is I'm standing in his shoes relationally in the same way that Jesus does with the Father. So my connection with the Father is the same as Jesus' connection with the Father. Mm. The kingdom of God is, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy. It is the right standing that we have as Jesus before the Father.
Yeah.
So if I abide in him, that's the first part. But now his words have got to be written on my heart. So this is where now authority and permission is transferred through relationship into action. Mm. Like this is the actions of Jesus in the earth. Well, we've got to get our head around the fact that that's okay. That is actually the dream of God for humanity is lots of little Jesuses. Mm. And hear that with the respect that we need to give Jesus as our king. But lots of Jesuses running around enacting the kingdom of God as he did. Mm. That's what makes this a real head spin.
Absolutely. I feel like we've gone broader than this conversation's gone broader than this is a spiritual gift that someone might have.
Sure.
Let me ask you: do you see this as a spiritual gift that is given to a person apart from another person that they then like we talked about in our healing episode that they somehow are anointed by God to call the church to believe in miracles and see the miraculous happen?
Look, my personal view is there's a lot of interactions between gifts and fruits because you know there is a purity of heart that happens as we walk with God, that's critical as we clean up our radar to be able to hear the voice of God. And that doesn't mean we become perfect, but it does mean we become a little more attuned to the Spirit of God. You know, we are walking with the Spirit more consistently. I don't think you'd have the gift of miracles if you didn't also have the gift of faith.
Sure.
So I personally think there's a lot of interactions in there. I think, you know, authority, gifts of authority and power often cluster together. So it'd be unlikely that someone had the gift of miracles that also didn't have the gift of faith, the gift of healing, you know, like there's just something about that. Most likely they've got an apostolic call over their life too. So again, that's depending on where you draw the line on what's a gift and what's an office and a calling. I mean, there's we can't get into all that today, but I guess I'm saying the interactions are pronounced. Mm. So I'd say, you'll know. Faith, the gift of faith is an absolute assurance that the will of God is being done.
Yeah.
So that would have to result in a miracle.
Yeah. So if you are listening to this podcast because miracles came up on your top two or three gifts and faith didn't, I encourage you to go and listen to the episode on faith. DP, it'd be great for everyone listening to this episode. They're listening to it because of that it's come up in their top two or three. Love for you to pray for them, mate.
And, sure.
What a great prayer to pray that the church would be full of faith in this time, this unique moment in history that we're in our country, to see the kingdom breaking through on earth more and more and seeing the miraculous happen and seeing many come to faith.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. All right, let's pray it exactly that way. Father, we ask you for more faith. God, in our heart, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see the demonstration of your glory both in our lives as the fruit of walking with God, that people would look at us and say, there's something different about those people, but also in the power that demonstrates that the supernatural God is in partnership with us and we are in partnership with him. Father, give us the faith for that. God, would you expand our minds and our hearts? Allow us to get past perhaps even the things of our past or the things we've seen that maybe we haven't understood, and we've held those things, those mysteries, as if they're obstacles to us. But God, would you help us to see past them into a new day where new things are possible? Fill us with power. Let us be endued with power, as Luke 24 said. Let us tarry for power, not, Father God, for us, but we see it so the kingdom of God would be advanced. For each one of us, Father, on this call and on this podcast, I pray, Lord, fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great conversation. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, DP.
Thank you, Cirx. Thanks for listening.